Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
Are you aware that you have 3 felony warrants for your arrest? From that conversation to now, I had no idea stuff was going on behind the scenes that I ain't know. He said you got 3 felony warrants for your arrest. And my job is to come pick you up and take you to jail. I say, sir, what? And so he hit me. He like, but I've already looked you up. I've already ran your background. I see you ain't, you know, you ain't no threat to society. You ain't got no criminal record. So I'm not going to come pick you up. I'm going to allow you to go turn yourself in.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today, is a very special day because our guest today is an entrepreneur, developer, investor, mentor, and real estate expert extraordinaire. From humble beginnings in North Carolina to building a multi-million dollar portfolio specializing in mobile home parks and affordable housing communities, this young lady is laying the blueprint for what success in real estate looks like, all while being classy and stylish while doing it. Whether she's speaking in front of thousands, sharing her story of going from entrepreneurial aspirations to a real estate sensation, or bringing out our people by the hundreds to buy their first piece of real estate with less than $1,000, her mission is simple: to show everyday people how to invest in land and create cash flow to escape the 9-to-5 grind through ownership and creative real estate strategies. And today, she's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from North Carolina, I'm here with the one, the only, the always fashionable, and even more actionable, Miss Shanika Nene, better known as Miss Sis Shanika. What's going on, family? How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm like, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for asking. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Listen, I love to have action takers, movers and shakers, money makers, and heavy hitters within their respective industry come on here, and you are that and then some. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. I know it's going to be a good one, and I know the people are going to enjoy it. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Thank you so much.
For sure. So I know I did a okay job introducing you, but I'll let you speak, of course, for yourself. Who exactly is Miss Shanika Lene?
I am a superhero.
Okay. I love it.
Posing as an influencer on Instagram.
Okay.
No, but I am... It's hard to sum me up for real because I really am multifaceted. Mm-hmm. But just to say the least, I'm someone who is genuine and compassionate about helping see our people win. Mm-hmm. By way of buying land specifically.
Mm-hmm. Let's unpack that a little bit more because I'm sure your journey into this space wasn't linear. Where did the journey of establishing yourself in real estate, the woman that we see today, where did that start?
So we can actually go back. I don't know if I've ever actually told this story before, but I actually got started. My first inception, if you will, into real estate investing was back in, I think it was around 2012 or 13. Mm-hmm. I read a book, and I hate to say the name of books when I'm not being endorsed or don't have.
They ain't cutting that check. They ain't getting no respect.
But it's so good. It's worth mentioning without being paid. Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Right.
Many people probably have heard it, but if you haven't, I implore you to get it and read it because that was the book that opened my eyes to real estate investing. And from there, I don't know if many people know or not, but way back then, he was actually teaching wholesaling back in 2013. So after I read the book, I started looking him up, like, where can I get more of him? Like, where can I actually learn this stuff? Found a seminar, went to the seminar, and long story short, they be taxing up in there, right? So you go to those free 2-day in-person seminars, right? So I went, and just like everybody else, everything sounded great. I took the bait. I signed up for the next level. It may have been a few hundred dollars or whatever it was. Hmm. I did that. Next thing, they upsold me to something else. That mug was $16,000. And I didn't have the full $16,000, but what I did have was a refund from my tax income. Mm. Okay? So I took that check, and I went to my dad, and I was like, hey, Dad, you want to partner with me on this thing? Mm. And he was like, sure. Anyway, by the time it came around, that other half didn't come. And so I was stuck. I had already paid my half. And so I was a little bit stuck. And they was like, well, we ain't giving you back your $8,000. And I was like, God damn. Mm-hmm. So it's my whole check. It's my whole
check. Took everything. Yeah.
And I was, you know, I was excited. I was like, look, I just don't have this other $8,000. So what can y'all give me for this $8,000 I done put in?
Yeah.
So they gave me, I forgot what they gave me. But anyway, I didn't do anything with it. I was kind of defeated at that point. You know, I felt a little low. My $8,000 was gone. You know what I mean? I didn't get the full program that they promised. So I'm like, if I don't got the full program, how am I going to do the full thing? You know? Yeah. So anyway, I was a little bit defeated. So long story short, I didn't start then, but that's where I actually learned about real estate investing. And then back in 2018, I was in e-commerce. Mm-hmm. I had already left corporate America. I was in e-commerce, doing actually great in e-commerce, making six figures in e-commerce, but I was bored as fuck. I was bored, unfulfilled, and so I was like, you know what? I think it's a good time to revisit that wholesaling thing, and I did. And I took I actually bought another course. I'm an avid course taker. I don't know how many courses I've bought over my years of entrepreneurship, but mm-hmm. I've literally bought so many courses. I bought another course, and I said, because I already knew it, but I said, I'm going to refresh myself because it's been 5 years. I'm going to see what's new. You know what I'm saying? What's happening in the market now? So I took the course, gave myself 30 days, took the course. 2 weeks later, closed my first deal. After that, the momentum was absolutely insane. The rest was history.
Let's unpack that a little bit, because you talked about your introduction being from the Robert Kiyosaki book to the in-person seminar, and then, of course, investing in these different programs, even when you didn't really have it all together. Typically, as I'm sure you see, especially when you're starting to get your footing in the entrepreneurship space, you don't necessarily have the support system that you would like around you to be like, yeah, you know, we believe in you, go after it. Because what you're trying to do, other people that you've grown up with or the family that you're in, they've never done it, mm-hmm. so they can't see it. What were some of those conversations that you were dealing with early on between friends and family when you were trying to figure out your footing in that real estate space and making that investment and taking your tax refund check and putting $8,000 into that seminar? Was it supportive? Was it something you had to work against?
Well, I had both.
Okay.
And my whole life is a juxtaposition just like this.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom, supportive, but very much so, go to school, get a degree, get a good job, get some benefits, right?
Mm-hmm.
My dad, very much like, baby girl, go do whatever the fuck it is that you want to do,
mm-hmm.
and daddy got your back.
Mm.
So
you got best of both worlds.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Interesting. So you have the best of both worlds. You're going in. Now, what was it internally in you? Because I think even for yourself, or even speaking to most entrepreneurs who are established then, but getting into mindset early on, was there ever any sense of doubt or concern or fear when you were going in? Like, yeah, this 8,000. I mean, this is six. At the time, you thought you was going to put this full six down. Like, bro, it's 16,000. That's a lot of money, right? Even now, it's a lot of money. What was the conversation that you were having with yourself at the time? Was it just like, yo, I'd rather figure it out,
bro,
as we go along?
I was tired of being tired, bro. Like, at the time, you asked me earlier off camera. We was talking a little bit off camera, but I had just relocated to another location, mm-hmm. but it wasn't because I wanted to. I had relocated because I had been through a terrible domestic situation where I had to flee. Mm. You know what I mean? So I was in a new situation, and I'm like, I need to do something different. I needed something different. I've always had something in me. I think I was born an entrepreneur. You know, some people, I know I was born an entrepreneur. Like, mm-hmm. every fiber in my being, like, just points towards entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
It's just what it is. So in terms of those type of internal conversations, I didn't struggle in terms of that with, like, I don't want to say I'm never scared, because I am. I just do the shit anyway.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just how I'm wired. Like,
right.
What's the worst that could happen? I'm still living.
Mm-hmm.
I took, you know what I mean? Like, they took my $8,000, but I'm still here, baby, and I'm popping now. You know what I mean? At the time, though, I was like, damn. Like, I was a little deflated, because that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I said, you know, and at that point, I didn't know when I was going to get a next big check like that until next year, potentially, for, you know, that's all I was waiting for. I was one of those people that was waiting for the refund,
yeah.
You know, the tax refund check. But this time I said every time, every other year when I got one, I'm like, I don't have nothing to show for it at the end of the day. I get these large few $1,000 or whatever, and I don't got shit at the end of it. So I'm like, this time I'm going to take my check and I'm going to invest it, and I'm going to have something.
Yeah.
So I had this big hope, you know, like I'm going to like do this thing. So I was deflated from that, but I ain't let that stop me, obviously, because I'm here.
That's powerful. You said something that was interesting to me. You talked about you started to get your footing in the real estate space, got to a point where you ultimately decided to pivot in e-com. And it sounds like early on you had more success in e-com hitting the ground running than you did in real estate, right? You talked about getting to, or didn't you? Maybe I misheard. Clear it up for me. Clear it up for me.
Well, if you look at it from the perspective of the initial starting point from 2013, then I would say so. I would agree with you.
So that's the point I'm talking about, because you said, if I heard you correctly, that you got into e-com, you started having some success, and then you got bored, which is interesting because it's like when you start making some money, right? I think for most people, it's like, yo, if I'm making 5K, 10K in anything, oh, I'm good. Feet's kicked up. Life is amazing. What more could I want? When you say that you were bored, can you elaborate a little bit on that?
I'm a creative.
Okay.
I'm a creative. I'm a creative. That's the best way I could describe it. I'm a creative. And I love nature. I love being outdoors, outside. Like, just, I'm an adventurous person. So, yeah. E-commerce for me was, I had got from the point of drop shipping. I started off drop shipping, and I graduated from drop shipping to having my own private label products that I was selling on Amazon. So if anybody knows about that process, I mean, once you got it, it's pretty redundant from there. You know what I mean? It's the same process. Once you have your list and everything is pretty, I mean, it's done. Your ads, everything is done. You get your products, you label them, you take them to the UPS store. That's what I was doing. Take them to the UPS store. They send them to Amazon. It's a wrap. That's you it. Wait for your money to come in. Boring.
So for you, it wasn't necessarily about the money. It was about like what's happening.
About the money now.
So for you, it's not about because you know it sounds like I'm gonna get to the money anyways. Yeah. But what am I doing to get to the money that I know that's gonna fulfill me?
That's what it is for me.
Okay.
That's what it is for me. It's about purpose because, like I said, at the end of the day, it's a million ways out here to legitimately make a lot of money.
Right.
Right. But like I said, it has to be something fulfilling for me, number one, and it has to be something that allows me to utilize my creativity.
Is that what you saw in real estate that ultimately drew you back even after you left?
That was it. Like, because even with the first deal, right, the first deal didn't even go the way I thought it was going to go. You know, you take these courses or whatever, even if it's not real estate, whatever course you take, they tell you it's going to, you know, you do A, B, C, and then 1, 2, 3 going to happen, right? Well, that ain't what
it's never what happened.
I did A, B, C.
You got X,
and
Y,
then 5,
and Z.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
There you go. It's never what they think you do.
It never happens the way they say it's going to happen. But I'm not one of those people to say, oh, you know, this course don't work. That was they scammed me. No. You have to pivot.
Yeah.
Especially in real estate, no deal is the same. It's always different. And that's, again, that's what I love about it, because I'm always learning something, right? I'm an avid learner. That's why I say I'm not trying to encourage people to buy courses. I'm telling you what I've done. I can show my receipts for all the courses I've taken, because I'm an avid learner. I love to learn. So I don't mind buying a course from somebody, and I sit down and take the course and learn it. It's just me.
I'm loving your story, because there are two things I'm picking up on. First thing that I'm picking up on is you talked about coming from a tough situation, a domestic situation that pushed you to know, like, hey, I'm tired. I need to do something to change where I'm at. The second thing is, despite the 8,000 that you essentially lost and pivoting back away from real estate and coming back, I'm sure it wasn't fun going through it, but it seemed like for you it was never a moment of just like, I'm gonna just go ahead and give up and quit. Like, I have to keep going.
Oh no.
And I love that, because I think a lot of times when people see the finished product now, they're like, oh, it probably for her, it was just a straightforward path, no bumps and bruises in between. It's just like the same thing that someone who's where you were years ago are now, the same thing that you went through before. The only difference between you and them is that you didn't allow yourself to be a victim.
I did not stop.
Right.
That's it. I kept going.
Yeah.
I kept going. And not only did I keep going, I must say I kept going with my spirit intact. That's important.
Yeah, very.
Because I went through a lot of stuff that my spirit could have been broken. And I could have been a vile, nasty, bitter, type of person.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
No. Filled with joy and filled with love.
Couldn't break me.
We here. So when did it all finally, so you get this first deal. You over here thinking I'm about to be a millionaire tomorrow. Million don't come tomorrow. It came, but it ain't come as soon as you thought it was going to come. Once you kind of went back into real estate and started to try and find your footing, when do you feel like it finally started to click for you?
The first deal, though, even though, like, the first deal, it didn't go exactly how it was supposed to go,
right.
But it closed. You know what I mean? And it closed in, like, 2 weeks. Mm. So they said, on the training, they said 30 days. Like, 30 days, you can get a check. I got mine in 2 weeks. Baby, I was popping after that. You had to tell me. Listen, you couldn't tell me shit after that. That's all it took. That's all it took. People be like, oh, you need to have some savings stacked up. You need to have it. Listen, baby, first check, I'm out the dough.
That was it.
That's it.
Lord have mercy.
First check. And it was a $5,000 deal, but it was a JV deal, which is joint venture for people that don't know anything about wholesaling. It was a joint venture deal. So I had to split that $5K. So it was only $2,500. But when I tell you that was the best $2,500 I had ever made, that was the best $2,500 I ever made.
Because at that point, it's proof of concept. Because it's like, for you, it's just like, if I can make 25, surely I can use it. Listen, to make 5, 10.
I'm trying to tell you. Once I did it, then I know I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can do it over and over again. Mm. And I did it over and over again.
So what's the next step after that? You make your first check. You're like, all right, it's ball game. You're all in now on the real estate space. But obviously, you're still there. I'm sure it wasn't all, you know, 1, 2, 3 after that. What's the next step that happens after that first check?
So actually, the momentum was banana. I mean, it was bananas. Absolutely insane. So literally the next month after I closed my first deal, I got one seller. She had, her husband had passed away and left her his entire real estate investing portfolio. She wanted absolutely nothing to do with it. And she had, at the time when I met her, she had already started selling it off. But by the time I got to her, she had 72, 73 properties left.
Okay.
And I called her on the phone, you know, built that rapport with her. And she told me she was actually flying. She was in Florida. She was an out-of-state owner. She was in Florida. She was like, I'm actually coming to North Carolina to handle some other business. Would you like to meet? Absolutely, I would. Went and sat with her, met with her. She told me that she had actually, prior to meeting me, she had actually already spoke to a realtor in the area, a big-time realtor in the area. And she had told him that he could have the listings. And I was like, well, damn. Like, one part of me is like, well, damn, I don't want to be a realtor. But sometimes I'm like,
trying to get him in the building. Right.
So, you know me. I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep it fair, what I thought was fair. I was like, well, how about this? How about you give the realtor half of them and give me half? She was like, all right.
Fair.
So I got like 30 some wholesale listings, if you will. Not listings, because they're not listings. We're not realtors. But 30 some wholesale properties under contract with one seller the next month after closing my first deal.
Crazy.
I'm talking about. I got that documented too. And I'm going to tell y'all something for anybody. I don't know your listeners, but if they probably diehard fans, if they aren't, they should be. But please feel free to trust but verify anything I'm saying. I've been documenting my process on Facebook now since the beginning, since 2018. I'm fairly new on Instagram, even though I have way more followers over there.
Yeah.
I'm fairly new over there. But Facebook, I've been rocking with them. Well, they've been rocking with, we've been rocking with each other since the beginning. And I've been documenting this process. I took pictures and documented, even me meeting the seller, like all of that. But yeah, that was the next big thing for me.
Imagine going from your first deal. You get this, what was it, $2,500 check,
yeah.
Right? And then the next deal, you get 30 deals literally just sitting in your hand from one seller.
I could have got 70.
If you hadn't, you know, if you wasn't playing fair.
If I wasn't a real nigga, yeah, can I say nigga?
You can say, this is your platform. You can say whatever you want. If you wasn't real, right? And you ain't put that pressure on her.
If I wasn't a real nigga, I could have got all of them. But I was trying to be fair. And and that dude, like, he hated me for getting those half. I should have took all of them. Fuck nigga. Should have took them off.
Yo. But you took the 35. It's gonna be a funny episode. You took the 35, and once again, you go from one deal. Now, and this is so important too, because it goes back to what I said before. Imagine if you allowed what didn't happen your first go around in real estate to sully your taste and your desire to go back in that space and say like, nah, this isn't for me. That would, we wouldn't be sitting on this couch right
That's
now.
That's right.
I'm sure you would have been successful. No, no ifs, ands, or buts about That's it, true. But it would have been in an entirely different industry.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, once again, it's just like, there's this huge misconception that exists that like, if I do something in business, if I'm not winning 24/7, if I'm not bumping, if I'm not, you know, catching W after W, then this probably isn't an industry for me. When in actuality, you know better than I do, like sometimes you got to go through 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 L's before you get that one dub. But that one dub is 10 times bigger than every O you took coming
make
up to
that. For everything.
It's different.
Make
it's
up
different.
Everything.
You are now in a position where you're mentoring a lot of these people that still are trying to get through that mental hurdle of understanding what we're talking about now when it comes to having success in real estate. Why do you feel like in 2025, so many people still feel like they can't have success in the space of real estate, even though they're trying to get in?
I think partly is because of the marketing that we have, that is surrounded around real estate investing, especially as it pertains to our people.
Okay.
The messaging is a little bit skewed a bit. Part of the messaging I think that I hear mostly is like, you can get started with no money, no credit, no, you know, listen, let me tell y'all something. While that's partially true, especially when it comes to really, you know, wholesaling, I'll say that's partially true. You got to have something,
right?
You got to have something. You cannot come in this game if you don't have some resources. You don't necessarily have to have good credit, but it definitely helps if you do. Right. And you got to have some type of skin in the game.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, if you don't have those things, which a lot of people are lack, I know I hear the message all the time. Y'all on my webinars, y'all in my DMs, in my emails, and everywhere. I hear it all the time. People struggling, right? I get it. Either you going to have some money or you going to have some hustle. You got to have some time. And the fact of the matter is, with folks working 9-to-5s, a lot of people ain't really willing to put in that time and the grind that it takes to really succeed in whatever it is, whether it's real estate or whatever. Everybody want this microwave success, this instant success without having to do, just like I posted a reel the other day about ChatGPT. It was so fucking funny to me because it was saying like, ChatGPT, like make me rich overnight. No hustle, no money. I could, you know what I mean? Like, people really think that you can really succeed without doing the work, y'all. It does not work like that. You got to do the work. Now, you can work smarter and not harder, which is what I strive to do, but work no less. You still got
to
do it.
To add on to that, I think what's crazier is we're in a time now where you're always going to have to do the work, but we're in a time now where it's never been easier to do the work and have the success, and yet people still aren't doing it. And I think people are overestimating what it takes for them to really win in these industries.
I believe that as well. Because some of these things are really attainable.
Yeah.
It literally takes you just sit down, lock in,
That's it.
Make a decision, make a commitment, and lock in. That's it.
I remember, you probably don't remember this, my first time meeting you, this was, I love this example so much because it's so simple. And it just, I saw in real time how some people literally mentally psych themselves out of winning. Our first time meeting each other was at a live real estate event here in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You were on stage and you were teaching essentially strategies around creative ways to get started in real estate. Because obviously everyone is not going to have it coming in, right? You figure
Absolutely.
It out. Cool. One of the things you told the audience was like, hey, if you don't got it, somebody else in this room got it. And there was these two young black women sitting in the front. And you walked to the edge of the stage and said, what's your name? And say her name is Kayla. And I go, cool. What's your name? My name is Melinda. Awesome. Y'all friends now. Y'all gonna help each other get your first real estate deal. You gonna put your number in her phone and y'all gonna get together. You gonna be on Facebook every day for like an hour a day trying to find sellers. You sat there for 10 minutes telling Kayla to put her phone in Melinda. And Kayla's looking at you deer in headlights like, oh, I really...
You ain't
ask her to give her $5,000. You ain't ask her to get up and run up on stage. To do something as simple as to put your number in this woman's phone to get what you are here to get, which is to have success in real estate.
Right.
And even that is like this mental uphill battle because it's just like, to your point, I think people are consuming so much content to where it's like, if it's not fast, easy, and I'm getting in a hurry, it ain't for me. And it's just like, if you think that's what it is, you're going to find yourself in a vicious cycle of just staying in the same spot over and over and over again. Because you think the work is something that is something entirely different. So I'm very happy I was able to see that. Let's dive a little bit more into it, because once again, you aren't just an influencer. You're in the space, right? You do this, eat, sleep, and breathe this every single day. You started off in wholesaling, but now I'm watching you. Sis Shanique, you got hundreds of people by the boatload coming out with you buying land for
a couple hundred, a couple thousand. Oh, yeah.
And you're doing this. This is not like a once every 3, 4, 5 years. You're doing this regularly now. How do we go from wholesaling to now being in this land space? Walk me through that journey.
So even when I was wholesaling, like, I realized quickly that wholesaling is a hustle, right? Mm-hmm. It's a hustle. It's a high paying job, right? And I ain't want no job. I quit corporate America because I ain't want no damn job. Mm-hmm. So, and on top of that, like I told you, with the book I read, right? I'm like, I'm not really building wealth this way, but I'm making good money, but I ain't building wealth. So I need to start acquiring some of these properties. Like, I need to start holding on to some of these properties that I'm wholesaling, right? So got another mentor. And I started learning about creative finance. And that's what allowed me to start holding on to some of these properties. And truth be told, I'm going to keep it real with y'all. Like, I had to use creative finance because my credit was jacked up. I told y'all earlier in the podcast that I went through a domestic situation. I had to flee my first home that I purchased. I couldn't afford to pay the mortgage there and pay rent where I had to move to. You know what I'm saying? So my house, essentially, I didn't lose it in foreclosure, but I did a short sale. But the time between that and the short sale happened, my credit was jacked up.
Yep.
So I didn't have no choice. I couldn't go to the bank and get a mortgage for a property at that point. So I learned creative finance. And so I started acquiring properties via creative finance. It started there. So I started acquiring properties via creative finance. I bought 2 mobile home parks that way. I'm using creative finance. And from there, I partnered with somebody from the event that you and I met at.
Yep.
And he was doing land banks. He was doing land banks. And he and I started talking. I'm talking about what I'm doing. He's talking about what he's doing. I'm like, hey, let's bring these two things together.
Yeah.
And that's how I got started with bringing people to buy land. I was already teaching people how to actually monetize the land, but I wasn't teaching them
how to
go get the land. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to bring them two things together with teaching them how to go buy the land, and then I'm going to teach them how to monetize it too.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, because you are already having success in your own respective industry. Because I know when we first met, I know you as like any and all things mobile home and just monetizing. Because I'm hearing you talk about, I'm making tens of thousands as a septic contractor doing this, and I got mobile home parks doing that. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Yeah. But then to see you, even within that success, be willing to partner with somebody who's in your industry, right? We hear all the time collaboration and not competition. What was the mindset behind that decision? Because you didn't have to do that. I'm sure you would have been fine. You would have been making your money.
Absolutely.
Right? Talk me through that.
There's a saying, it's the African proverb, that a rising tide floats all boats. And I'm just one of those people that I believe in collaboration wholeheartedly. I'm definitely being more careful with those collaborations moving forward. However, I do still wholeheartedly believe in those collaborations, and I definitely believe in helping see other people win.
Yeah.
So if I see that collaborating with whomever helps me to help more people, I'm all for it, because at the end of the day, it's really about the people.
Hey, business owners, imagine being able to walk in and out of banks and starting to see approvals instead of rejections. And it's not because you changed anything with your business, but because you put your personal credit report in the position it needed to be in. Here at Takeoff Financial, our team helps business owners just like you using consumer law strategies that'll get real results in real time. We remove collections, charge-offs, late payments, evictions, delinquent student loans, along with anything else that's keeping you from getting to your funding goals. And best of all, it's completely done for you. We send the disputes, file the complaints, and do everything needed to help put you in position to access your first $50,000 to $100,000 in business credit. So if you're interested, head over to takeofffinancial.com or click the link in the description below to book a free consultation with me and my team to learn more about how we can help you get one step closer to your funding goals.
Like I say, it's not about money for me. Marvin, when I say, and I'm not trying to
brag. Pop your shit. Go ahead. I'm going to say it for you. I don't even curse on my own pop. Go ahead, pop your shit. Go ahead. Say what you got
to
say.
I'm not trying to brag, but I'm straight, bro. Mm-hmm. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm straight.
Yep.
I'm straight.
You want me to say it for you? Give me a second. Can you put the camera on me? Sis Shanika has a lot of money. It's concerning. To get her to do this podcast, I had to go through 5 assistants, 3 vice presidents, and a consultant. That's when you know you have money. And even then, when I got to confirm, it was a lot. She has a lot of money. She's not going to say, I'll say it for her. You can put it back on her now. Go ahead.
So really, I swear, like, it's not even about money, though, because I'm so rich in other things that people with real money, long money, I'm talking about the Rockefeller and them type money, they wish they had the type of stuff that I have. Mm. You know what I mean? So I'm truly blessed. Like, I have people around me, surrounded. I grew up in love. I didn't grow up in survival. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up in that type of mindset. I grew up in love. People, my family, I grew up in love in the country. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody know each other. Everybody look out for each other. Mm-hmm. Never hungry. Never, not saying that I didn't struggle, y'all. When I say never hungry, yeah, I was never hungry. I ain't gonna sit up here. Like, my mama kicked my ass talking about, like, you know, they got those little reels going around. I'm recording this so my son can never say he got it out the mud type stuff.
Yeah.
So we struggled sometimes, but not really, though, for real. Because, like I said, I never lacked or never went without anything that I need. Any of my necessities. I always had my necessities. So with that, I'm just blessed, man. I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
What do you remember about, so you partner with, I'll say his name, Charles, good friend of our, both of ours, Charles. You start getting into space. What do you remember about your first land deal?
My first one got me locked up.
Okay. Oh, man. I thought it was about to be a story of aspiration and success. If you're comfortable, are we able to talk about that story?
We can talk about anything you want to talk about.
What happened? What happened? This is crazy.
Oh, my God. All right. So, long story short.
We got time. Get into it.
So, I closed this deal probably about 3 years ago.
Okay.
About 3 years ago. Closed this deal. It was a wholesale deal that a wholesaler brought to me. God knows. Closed the deal just like you're supposed to close a deal with an attorney. Everything signed off. Everything good. Everybody Gucci. Everybody got their paperwork. Everything good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Few months later, after I closed the deal, first I got a call from a sheriff. Mm. Got a call from a sheriff. I've never told the story completely, but got a call from a sheriff, and the sheriff says, "Hey, you know, the seller came up here and told us that you illegally took their property." And I'm like, "Huh? Like, how I illegally take the property? We had a closing with an attorney. He signed the papers. He got it. And he had the wet sign. It ain't like it's virtual, because you have to wet ink whenever you closing real estate deals, okay? It's wet ink. Wet ink means you have to sign with a pen. You can't scan it, copy it, or any of that. It has to be wet. Like, you have to literally sign it and then send those papers into the attorney. So that's what that's everything that was supposed to happen took place. So when he's telling me, I'm gonna keep it real with you. I literally laughed. I started laughing. I thought shit was funny, because I'm like, "Are you like what?" Like, I was laughing. Like, what? Like, no, we no. Mm-hmm. He was like, "Well, we had to look into it, because the assertion was made. They came back, the complaint was made or whatever. So we have to look into it, and if we think it needs to go further, we'll call you back."
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I ain't think nothing else of it. Mm-hmm. Okay. The seller actually calls me. I want to say it's either the next day or 2 days later. Now, I had already talked to a sheriff that told me that he filed a complaint. So, obviously, when he calls, I got my other phone. I'm recording. I ain't no snitch, y'all. But in North Carolina, you can record with one person's consent. And like I said, I got a call from the sheriff already. So, he done snitched. So, I wasn't snitching. So, I'm just covering myself. So, anyway, I'm recording. I'm recording the conversation. So he just talking like nothing, happened. I'm just talking like nothing happened because I'm waiting to see. I'm like, what type of time he on? You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So after a while, we just talking. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm like, Mr. Seller, sheriff called me and said that you filed a complaint. Oh, baby, that was a mistake. Mm. That was a mistake. I didn't see the paper. And I'm about to call it down there right now and tell them that was a mistake. I got all this shit on recording still. Nobody ever heard it. I still got it. That was a mistake. I'm like, okay, but why did you tell them that in the first place?
Yeah.
And he was like, I couldn't find us. So with the deal, it was a hybrid deal. Mm-hmm. I told you it was creative finance hybrid. One part seller finance, one part sub two. So with the part that was seller finance, we created a note for that. He says he couldn't find the note, even though he got the note when he got a copy of the note from the attorney. And also between that time and this time, he had called me and asked for it again. So I had emailed him a copy of it again. So he had the note. But anyway, he said he couldn't find it. And that's why he went down there and filed a complaint. Okay. So I got all that recorded. I'm like, okay, you know, all right. I'm like, but we on the same page now, right? Yeah, baby. I'm like, okay. But this like April, I want to say. Again, I thought everything was Gucci.
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Come on. It's in my order.
Me too. Hold up.
It's getting real. It's getting real.
Okay. Had just had surgery. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm sitting in my house. And, I got a call. And the guy says, this is such and such from the U.S. Marshal office.
Here we go.
Are you aware that you have 3 felony warrants for your arrest? I say, what the fuck is you talking about? Three felony warrants for what? I didn't know I had charges. I didn't know they charged me. I didn't know. Like, this was from that conversation to now, I had no idea stuff was going on behind the scenes that I ain't know. He said, you got 3 felony warrants for your arrest. And my job is to come pick you up and take you to jail. I say, sir, what? I'm like all out of sorts. And so he's like, but I've already looked you up. I've already ran your background. I see you ain't no threat to society. Little do y'all know, don't fucking play with me though. You ain't no threat to society according to your, you ain't got no criminal record, what he was saying. But I am a threat. You ain't got no criminal record. So I'm not going to come pick you up. I'm going to allow you to go turn yourself in. I'm like, well, sir, thank you. Thank you for that. But in the meantime, let me call my attorney to find out what the F is going on. Because at the time, he didn't even tell me what the charges were. I didn't even know what the charges were. He just said I had 3 felony warrants and his job was to come pick me up. So at this point, I think this was a Thursday. Now, I don't watch all the shows, you know what I mean? And I know if you go to jail on Friday, you got to stay through the weekend. You can't get out on Monday. You know what I'm saying? So right. I'm like, hell no. I can't go to jail. Stay on the weekend. So I'm calling everybody. I call my attorneys. Listen, I'm going to tell you how this thing came around full circle. Remember I told you my first wholesale deal was a JV deal. I had a JV partner. Mm-hmm. My JV partner was a bail bondsman. And that's another thing about relationships.
Come on.
This from 2018 to now, me and him was still cool because we ran circles in the city. We closed multiple deals together after that. Got him right on the phone. Anyway, he was like, I'm going to give you time to go turn yourself in. I called my attorney. I started calling. I called the sheriff down there. I wonder if I could say this part, but I'm going to say it. I called the sheriff down there because at this point, I'm trying to find out what my charges are. I don't even know what my charges are. So I called the sheriff and I'm talking, and I don't get the actual sheriff. So let me be very clear. I didn't get the actual sheriff. I got somebody right, whatever the rank is up under that, lieutenant or somebody right up under that is who I spoke to because I couldn't get directly to the sheriff. Anyway, whoever that person was, which I have your name written down in my notebook with the date and time that I spoke to you, he told me,
come on,
that once he told me what the charges were, and one of them was, he told me, God, and I don't know the exact legal term that it was, but it was basically like taking property under false pretenses.
Okay.
Like misrepresenting myself as somebody that I'm not.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm like, who the hell was I representing? Because I closed the deal in my company.
Yeah.
He was like, well, we looked up your company name with the Secretary of State, and your LLC doesn't exist in North Carolina Secretary of State. And I said, well, sir, that's because I don't have LLC. Okay? I got an S Corp. So if you had put S Corp at the end of it, then you'd have seen the motherfucker pop up. Okay? So.
What's going on, bro?
Oh, my God. So listen. Whole time, they charging me with misrepresenting myself as working for a company that didn't exist. Whole time it's my company, but they dumbasses looked up LLC instead of S Corp. Mm. So when you look up LLC, no, it don't come up because it's S Corp at the end of it. So I literally got charged for a felony charge because they didn't do their proper due diligence. Okay? All right. So when I said, and I told him, I'm like, that's because I don't have an LLC. The name of my company is this. He said, oh, I guess you're going to have to go take that up in court.
Come on.
Right. I said, God.
Now you on 10. Whew. Now you on 10.
Oh, boy. Yeah, he told me I'm going to have to take that up in court. So I'm like, okay, word. So I said, I know what I'm dealing with now. I know what I'm dealing with here. Mm-hmm. Right? All right, so. Now, I mean, I was documenting anything anyway. I was documenting everything anyway. So now I'm really documenting. So anyway, long story short, he told me I was going to have to take it up in court. I called, my attorney told me to call a local attorney that was there because it was like, the attorney's there. They know people. They know how to maneuver better than I could. They know the, you know what I mean? So I got an attorney there and he arranged for me actually to go turn myself in. He called the sheriff. Made arrangements for me to come meet and go, you know, through the back door like celebrity and everything, you know, go walk myself. I'm feeling, you know, kind of big time, even though I got charges. I'm like, okay, they're going to walk me in through the back, you know what I mean, like a celebrity and everything, you know. Let me put my shades on because I was really feeling myself, you know what I mean, because I'm like, okay, I'm about to go to jail, but I'm going like a celebrity, okay? I'm going like VIP style, all right? So I'm all right, cool. You know, I'm going to roll with the punches here, all right? So I'm prepared to go to jail VIP style, all right? Next thing I know, I'm sitting at home in my little pajamas and everything, chilling on my couch and everything. And I get a knock at the door. Y'all know if, oh, I don't know how y'all know or not, but they knock loud. One of them kind of knocks. I'm like, what the fuck? And I already knew what time it was. Again, I told y'all I watched the shows that I be watching. I watch the show. So I knew what type of knock that was.
Yeah,
know what I mean? Everybody know how the police knock. So I got the police knock and I go to the door. You know what I mean? I keep it gangster. I already know it. I'm like, I know what it is already. I don't really know why y'all here, but I know why y'all here. Because I know I was supposed to go turn myself in like a VIP.
Right.
So I go on to the door. You know what I mean? In my pajamas. Like, I, you know, because all the arrangements were made.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, hey, Mr. Shipman, you know. You have such ones for you. I'm like, yeah, I already talked to my attorney and everything. Yeah, I'm going to turn myself. We got arrangements. So I'm going to turn myself in on with that day. I think it was a Monday, but it was a Monday. I had arrangements to turn myself in the following day. Yeah, my attorney, we already got that straight. The U.S. Marshal, everybody, like he even told, the U.S. Marshal told me, like, once you get everything straight, just let me, communicate with me and let me know so I know what's going on. I'm like, I done talked to the U.S. Marshal, attorneys, everybody. He done, everybody. He's like, well, I don't know what to tell you, but I'm here to lock your ass up. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what? I'm like, sir, can I at least go upstairs and change? He was like, no, ma'am. Turn around. I'm, oh, whoa.
Just like that. Lord
have mercy. I'm like, whoa, whoa. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, take my children. Like, my babies is right here, right, dude. Right. Like, so I got two older children. I'm like, take them upstairs. I'm like, just get them out of here. Like, get them out of here. Get them upstairs. So my oldest rushed the babies upstairs so they didn't see their mama get fully locked up. And then at that point, and he wasn't rough with me, but he was very
stern.
Assertive.
Stern, yeah.
Yeah, he took my hands. I'm like, yo, I ain't Gary. I'm in my house. I got a nightgown on. Like, I just want to go put on some clothes.
Yeah.
He wouldn't let me change my clothes. So in my nightgown, I go handcuffed. And they ain't handcuffed me in the front. They handcuffed me in the back. Mm. Oh my God. Handcuffs in the back. So I'm
yo. It's not funny, but it is. Dude, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So I'm handcuffed in the back, right? They got me hemmed up. I'm locked up. They got me locked up. So they got me hand up in the back, right? Mm. House shoes on and everything. Got my house shoes on, nightgown. And I told y'all I just had surgery. So I'm slumped over. It's real bad, y'all. Real bad. Mm. Slumped over, can't even stand up straight, because that's how it was. I'm slumped over in pain. They got me locked up in the back in front of my children. So at this point, you know, I'm being compliant and everything. I'm being compliant, respectful, whatever. And at this point, like, he relaxes because he see, you know, I ain't no threat. I ain't being disrespectful. I ain't, you know, none of that. And so at this point, he told his partner, because what I didn't know, I mean, so I live in an affluent neighborhood, number one. Only black person in the neighborhood. Got to be the only nigga that got the police coming to the neighborhood, right? To come get me. Anyway. So they had parked their police cars like around out of the cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. So they would have had to walk me like
all the way all through. The way so through. You got neighbors peeking through, like, I knew it. I knew it all along. She was primary suspect. Come on. There goes the neighborhood.
There goes the neighborhood.
I told y'all we should have never let her in.
Never let her
in. Now look. There you go right there. See, that's what happens when you don't stay in school. Sally, come look. That's her right there.
So instead of them doing that, the officer instructed the other officer. He was like, go get the car, pull the car up so we don't have to walk her out in front of her neighbors. Mm. So they pulled the car up so they didn't have to walk me out in front of my neighbors and everything. And then he allowed my daughter to at least come change my shoes. He let her put sneakers on my feet instead of the house shoes. Mm. And so then I'm back there. So I'm on the way to jail. Again, I'm locked up. My phone, hold up. This is my phone, y'all. I'm locked up. This is my phone. I'm locked up. I'm handcuffed in the back. Mm. I don't know if y'all ever been in a police car. I told y'all it was, by the time this happened, it's July. Mm. I live in North Carolina. It's hot.
It's hot.
It's hot. They don't got no air conditioning in the back of the police cars. Okay? No air conditioning back there. So, let me say what. So, it's like a little window, like this big. It's got it's not glass. It's like whatever that little shield is between the officers and the back.
I know what you're talking about. It's almost like I know what you're talking about.
It's like a little shield thing, right? Some of y'all ain't never been. Some of y'all know because y'all done been back there. Yeah. Some of y'all know.
Yep.
Explain to the people in the comments what that is one time. Yeah. But the thing was back there. So they got one little opening like this, like this big. So he see me back there suffering. Y'all see me. I'm looking cute and stuff. You know, y'all see me. I guess he felt sorry for me. And he like, he opened a little window. He was like, you can stick your head right here to get some air. So my little head through this little window, trying to get some little air.
With the handcuffs on. So you over here.
I'm handcuffed like this. My little head through the little window like this, trying to get some air.
With your legs up like this too. So you like lean back. All right, let me get a little break. 1, 2, 3.
Y'all remember what was it, Harlem Nights, when he locked them up in the safe. Huh? And he told him like, breathe, you better breathe like this.
Yo, what's going on this podcast episode, bro? So you fighting for your life back then?
I'm fighting for my life. And on top of that, I told y'all I'm going to jail and they got me handcuffed in the back. So I'm talking to the officer. I'm keeping it real. He let me keep my phone. Hmm? He let me keep it. So I got my, but I'm handcuffed. Hmm. And so I was like, if I can work my phone, can I call? I was like, can I make a call? Hmm. He was like, go ahead.
With your phone behind you.
With my, I'm handcuffed in the back of the police car. I got my, can y'all see the camera?
Yeah.
Okay, y'all see this?
So you doing this with the handcuffs?
I'm handcuffed. Like
now,
this.
Mind you, you're probably doing this while trying to get air too. So it's like,
oh God,
I'm exposed. So it's like you got go over here texting, 1, 2, 3, boom, you lean forward, get some air, boom, you're back on the phone.
Can y'all see? I'm like this here with my phone. Y'all see? I'm doing this. Right? Bro, I call
Lord have mercy.
I go back to my JV partner. Mm-hmm. Call him first. Bro, they got me, bro. Come get me, bro. Come get me. But I had already called them prior to and let them know, you know, I told you that Thursday I made all the phone calls and let everybody know what was going on. So I had already called them and prepped them anyway. So I called them, bro, come get me. bro, this he was bailing somebody else out. He couldn't even come get me. He sent somebody. He sent another bail bond that he knows to come get me. No money, no nothing. Like, before I got to jail, bro, they was there already to get me out. So, call him, call my attorney, call, I'm calling everybody. I'm like, yo, they got me, yo. They got me. So, anyway, and I know he took the long route to the jailhouse just so I could make my phone call. So, shout out to that particular officer, because he was very kind to me. He let me use my phone. He gave me some air conditioning, and he took the long route to the jail so I can get through all my phone calls before I got there. So shout out to him for that.
So we went from wholesale and 30 some deals to now you over here multitasking in the back of a car. You texting bail bondsmen over here trying to catch your breath in North Carolina weather, trying to get. So how do you bounce back from that? Because that was a lot.
That's what I'm saying. But I survived stuff that would have made the average person like tap out a long time ago.
Wait, so talking about did you win the case?
Oh yeah, totally. What happened? Totally vindicated.
Okay.
All three felony charges gone. Two civil cases gone. The nigga sued me in one civil court, lost that one. Sued me in another one, lost that one. Big sis, vindicated. Okay? Know what I'm talking about? Don't play with me, ever. I told you I'm a threat out here in these streets. And now I got street cred, too? Y'all can't tell me nothing. I done been locked up. Yo. I got street cred now. Put some respect on my name. We finished or we done here, Marv? What's going on? What's going on? We finished or we done?
So, you won. Okay, yo, what is... I don't know if I've ever had somebody tell a beat the case story here. This is a historical episode. So you beat the case, you win. So there was five charges, three felony, two civil
criminal charges,
two civil,
two, and two civils,
and you beat all five.
I beat all five.
So now at that point you win the case. Do you all right? So you keep the land. So the land is still yours.
Still
then.
Mine. Still mine.
Have you ever seen the seller or whoever that dude
not
was?
Not since. He never showed up in court, not once. I went to court for over a year and a half, almost 2 years, wow. Back and forth to court, almost 3 years. Back and forth to court, never showed up one time. Wow. Not once. He knew he was wrong. Wow. Never showed up. His attorney didn't even show up.
It's funny that we can laugh about it now and go through it, but I can't even begin to imagine what you are going through. First off, phenomenal story. Second of all, I can't even begin to imagine what you were actually going through in real time, navigating that entire journey while still being a mom, while still having to, you know, run your business in the real estate space and beyond.
I don't think people understand the type of anxiety.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The PTSD, is that the right order of those letters?
PTSD, yep.
Okay. That comes along with that. Like, bro, I couldn't even watch court shows. Like, I ain't lying. I couldn't even see a judge.
Because you was in it.
I was in it. Like, I ain't want to see no court TV, no none of that. Police, nothing, anything associated with the system, I couldn't see that shit while I was going through it. Like, I was, like, my life was on the line for real.
Facts.
Like, and it depended on people, on so-called peers, to make a decision on whether or not I'm guilty or not. And these the same peers that took the name of my company instead of putting the right...
LLC. Putting it.
So you telling me these same motherfuckers got to judge me and tell me if I'm innocent or not? Oh, my God.
It's over.
Oh, my God.
It's over. It's over.
Oh, my God. I was a nervous wreck.
Even through all of that, was there a moment as you're going through that where you're like... You know, I have my little run in real estate. It's time. I think this is God telling me that I got to go into there. What was it about even through you going through that situation? Because now you're shining brighter than ever. The success you're having in this space now, it's not coincidence. I think it's confirmation, right? Of not only what you went through, but the work and the impact that you've had. But when you were in it, was there a moment where you were just like, I think it's about time we go ahead and pivot again because I don't think I want to do this anymore?
Nah. There was a point in time where I considered, like, not giving the land away, but being done with the deal.
Yep.
There was a point in time where I did consider that. Mm-hmm. I talked to, you know, mentors, and I went to a spiritual advisor. I'm like, is this thing spirit? Like, I went, that thing was taking me through the ringer. I'm like, what is this? Because I'm a big believer in, I'm very spiritual. So I don't believe anything happens for as a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences or anything like that. So I believe everything happens for a reason. But I was trying to figure out what was that reason. Like, what is this? Like, what is going on? And one thing I do know is that anything of value, of real value, has a difficulty factor associated with it.
Yeah.
You can't get through life or obtain anything that has true value without going through something. And that piece of property to me, what it represents for not just me but for my family, is bigger than is a bigger purpose than what I went through. Mm. You know what I mean? So for me, it's like at the end of the day, it's purpose. It's about purpose. Mm. And so with that being said, that particular property, it meant something to me, not just because of where it was located, but it's like minutes away from where my paternal ancestors were born and raised. Mm. And so anyway, it has a lot of sentimental value. So and then on top of it, now I got a point to prove at this point. So
now it's that. I mean, you kind of beat me to my next question, because we joked about it earlier on, but like, even for the point that you're at now in your real estate journey, everything you're doing now, you're doing it because you want to do it, not necessarily because you have to do
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So when you think about the work that you're putting in at this point, what exactly is, what's the why at this level that you're at? You talked about purpose. Like, what do you feel like your purpose is at this point? What's the impact that you're trying to leave for, whether it be for your young daughters or for your other friends and family, for everyone else that's watching you and looks mm-hmm. to you as that beacon of light in the real estate space? What would you say that is for you right now?
Helping other people to obtain legacy. At this point, I'm still building myself, but I'm pretty established in terms of my real estate investment portfolio. But I can't say even now, because even while I was building, and the reason why, I'm gonna just keep it real with you, the reason why I'm not even more established than I am now is because even while I was doing it myself, while I was learning, making mistakes and all of that, I was still helping people even then for free. I was still teaching people then. I was still mentoring and coaching to the best of my ability on what I knew at that point.
Yep.
So again, I told you I was documenting my process the whole time. So people would just see me sharing what I was doing and winning and just have questions. I would just pour into them. So I've been doing that since the beginning. It hasn't changed. Now I just feel like I just want to impact more people. I just want to help more people. I want to impact more people on bigger and better levels. That's all.
If there was one principle that people could take away listening, because you literally just documented your whole story from first deal to the next deal after that, that completely changed things for you, to getting started in the land space, and now your first land deal gets you locked up, but here you are still standing 10 toes, doing what you have to do. What's one principle that you want people to be able to take away from your journey of navigating the space of not just real estate, but just entrepreneurship as a whole?
Don't quit.
That's it.
Do it scared.
Those two things.
Attention business owners. Are you tired of getting denied for business credit because your personal credit is still holding you back? You have the business, you have the vision, but every single time that you apply, lenders hit you with the same brick wall time after time again, your credit report. You see, here at Take All Financial, we use advanced consumer law strategies to get every negative item removed from your credit report. Things like collections, charge-offs, late payments, delinquent student loans, and so much more. And best of all, it's fully done for you. Our team sends out the dispute letters, files the complaints, and handles everything needed to get your credit to the finish line, which means you don't have to lift a finger, and we'll do all the heavy lifting needed to put you in position to finally get approved for business credit. So if you're ready to stop getting denied and start getting funded, head over to takeofffinancial.com to book a free consultation with me and my team to see how we can put you in position to get one step closer to your funding goals.
Don't quit and do it, Karen.
Yeah. Because fear is a natural thing. It's going to happen. It's going to come up.
Yeah.
I still get scared. I was scared as hell when I was facing charges. You know what I mean?
Terrible. Terrible. Go ahead.
I was scared, y'all. A lot of things that I do, I be scared. But I still do it. Mm-hmm. I do it anyway. And that's just one of the things that I teach my students. And they're learning. They're learning. They're overcoming. And they're... And what I tell them, if you scared, you know what I mean? If you don't have the courage, just borrow some of mine. Hell, I think I got enough for a few more people. So borrow some of mine, take some of my energy, take some of my courage, take some of my tenacity, my never give upness. All right, because I don't give up. I'm not gonna stop. And even the time, well, I'm immortal, so that ain't even gonna happen. So there's that.
As we start to close, my last question: if you were sitting in my seat right here on this podcast, and sitting across from you was Shanika Lene 10 years from now.
10 years from now.
Okay. 10 years from now.
Okay.
And she only had 30 seconds to speak to Shanika Lene today. What do you think she would say?
That is a really good question, Marvin. Hold on. Let me ask ChatGPT.
Oh, my gosh, bro. Oh, my gosh.
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I really need to ask Chet. What would I tell?
And she only has 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Shit. And that's it. She gone. You ain't going to see her again until you get to the 10-year mark.
Love yourself. You are enough. That's it.
That's it. She don't even need a full 30 seconds.
Nah. Love yourself. Because if you love yourself, really, I mean, That's it right there. I think that's what's missing in the world today. Love in general, and then people loving it. Y'all don't love yourself.
Powerful.
That's another topic. I know.
We may be able to touch on that in the part three. I don't know. We'll see. We will see. But Sis Shanika, thank you so much for coming on here. I think this is my favorite podcast episode I've done today. I've never heard a story that's so colorful, so all over. And I feel like I was in the police car with you. I'm like, damn, why y'all doing it like this, man? Just. She about 5'2". I got her over here crunched up in the back, texting, fighting, breathing. Take the damn handcuffs off. She ain't going nowhere.
I ain't going nowhere, bro.
Both y'all about 6'4". If she run, y'all gonna catch her. Like,
nah, I'm actually a track star.
Oh, for real?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, so they needed their handcuffs on you.
Yeah. They weren't gonna catch me if I ran.
If they run, never mind. Y'all did good. Y'all knew what y'all was doing. I don't know. Who am I, right? Y'all the marshals, right? Good job. So Shanika, I know we got to get you out of here. Before we do, I know you have a lot of different things going on. Let the people know, number one, where they can find you. But number two, let them know how they can get connected with all the events, programs, things that you have going on, any and all things real estate.
Yes. Thank you again so much, Marvin, for having me. This was so fun. But Sis Shanika on all platforms, Instagram, it's only two, Facebook and Instagram. Sis Shanika, at Sis Shanika there. I have a free Facebook group, Real Estate Investing Facebook group. I've been teaching in there for free. It has over 37,000 members in there, Real Estate Investing A to Z. So feel free to join that group. It's free, free resources and things in there. And any other thing that I have going on will be linked below Marvin's podcast.
Come on. I love it. Sis Shanika, thank you once again. But most importantly, thank you to each and every single one of you guys who have tuned into this podcast. And if you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now to go ahead, hit that like button, show this episode some love. But most importantly, tell a friend to come back and rewatch it again. And ladies and gentlemen, as always, I am your host, Marvin Francois. That is the always lovely Miss Sis Shanika. You guys have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you all. God bless. And until next time, family. Peace.